Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and hope you're doing well. Hope you are able to get out and do some things as far as sports go. Things are opening up a little bit, it seems like, but they've always been kind of open as far as if you want to exercise and get out and walk or ride your bike, and that's what I've been doing a lot of. Looks like maybe the season's going to open up, too, a little bit. Looks like baseball might start up sometime around midsummer, maybe mid-July. Certainly hope that happens. And one of the casualties of this pandemic, though, has been minor league baseball. There's just not going to be, I don't know what minor league baseball is going to do at this point. It looks like there just might not be any minor league baseball. And particularly when you're in the low minors. And we have with us today Mike Nutter, who is the president, GM of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps of the Midwest League. Now, the Midwest League is what's called Low A. Now, when you sign on to be a baseball player, you're coming out usually of a junior college, or you're coming out of high school in some cases, or you're coming out of a major college program, and a lot of the college programs are down south, like Mississippi, Mississippi State, Clemson, whatever, Georgia Tech, all those different schools. You don't go directly to the majors. Of course, you go to a minor league team, and a lot of times they'll send you to a rookie team. And then from the rookie league, that's your first year. Then your second year, a lot of times you end up in the Midwest League. And the Midwest League is great baseball atmosphere. Now, the players, many of the players don't get out of the Midwest League to get to the majors because it's a long jump. You got to go to high A, you got to go to double A, triple A, and then you get to the majors. And that's, but from a fan standpoint, some of those Midwest League teams are just outstanding. And one of them is in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Parkview Field. And it kind of resembles Wrigley Field a little bit in that down the right field line on a top of a parking garage across the street, they have some seats. And I've been to Parkview Field a couple of times. It's great. It's baseball. And, you know, you get the same amenities that you get that you would get at a major league park, although it's not quite as big. It's downtown Fort Wayne, and it's just a beautiful setting. And the parking's much easier. You walk to the stadium very easily. You go in, you can still get your popcorn or your drink or whatever you want, your hot dog. And it's just a great time. And I'm going to really miss minor league baseball. But we have, hopefully it comes back next year. And we have with us today Mike Nutter. This is an interview that we did a couple of years ago. He's an outstanding Christian man. And he's the one that's in charge of baseball in Fort Wayne. They are an affiliate, I believe, of the San Diego Padres. That changes every once in a while, but I think they're a San Diego Padres affiliate. And that's young players that would eventually end up playing for San Diego. So Mike Nutter's our guest. Hope you enjoyed this interview. We'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear from Mike Nutter of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. We'll be back after this. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, thank you very much, and welcome back to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and today we have with us the general manager of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, Mike Nutter, and we've got a lot of common connections. I spent a lot of time in Fort Wayne, and I got to tell you, first of all, Mike, I love Parkview Field. You've got one of the nicest fields. It's a great venue. Just tell me about Parkview Field.
Thank you very much for having me on today. It's an honor and a blessing to be with you. And your comments about the place I get to go to work in every day, it's a pretty special place. Parkview Field, a minor league baseball stadium that opened in 2009. We've been a minor league single-A affiliate of the San Diego Padres for nearly 20 years. And it's just an awesome place. And it's more than just baseball, because it's helped be a part of the revitalization location in downtown Fort Wayne. I'm a Midwest guy, grew up in Northwest Ohio, and back then everything was moving out of Main Street and into the suburbs, and that's okay in some regards, but this project has been a part of other things like the Embassy Theater and the library and different things that have really helped downtown Fort Wayne come back and get kind of its confidence and swagger back, and it's a great place to live. My wife and I have a couple of kids. It's a great place to raise a family, and we're blessed that the Lord's taken us there.
And you've got those seats in right field still, I think, that Wrigley Field style, that are up on the roof. That's just outstanding.
No question. It's called the Treetops because of our Apple logo. So instead of the rooftop, it's the Treetops. We went all around the country to model Parkview Field after many different places, and that was an idea that we borrowed directly from Wrigley Field, and it's our a tribute to those guys over there with the Cubs that have been doing it so well for so long.
Tell me about the Tin Caps. Why are you called the Tin Caps?
Great question. And a lot of minor league teams are quirky, different, goofy, unique names. You know, our owner owns some teams, Chattanooga, Tennessee, the Lookouts. He owned the Savannah Sand Gnats for a while. Now it's the Columbia Fireflies. And the Fort Wayne Tin Caps are named for a guy that's buried in Fort Wayne, John Chapman, better known as Johnny Appleseed. And so you know, as a former resident of the Summit City, we have an Appleseed Festival right there near the Coliseum every year that attracts, you know, 100, 200,000 people. The young kids learn about John Chapman throughout their grade school and elementary school. And if not all the religious things, he certainly lived a life of giving and paying it forward and things like that. And so our logo, for the people that haven't seen it, is a rough-looking, tough-looking, somewhat smiling or grinning apple with a tin cap or a pot on his head. And so that's our name. We got panned for it a little bit when we first announced it, but here we are 8 years later, and it's a great logo.
Well, you started out as the Wizards playing on the north side of Fort Wayne, and the change just came. Did you have a lot to do with that, in that change from going from,
we did.
From out there at City Utilities Park?
Exactly right, yeah.
City Utilities, just moving in a very nondescript place. In fact, I went to a game at the Wizards one time, could hardly find the field. And then you moved downtown, and as you say, it was part of the resurgence. And I know you've been there, what, 16 years, 17?
That's exactly right. Yeah, the longest I've ever lived anywhere. I've been blessed to live. I grew up in a Lutheran Christian home. We lived all over the country. My mom was an educator. My dad was in sales. So it was Northwest Ohio, born in Akron University Hospital, outside of Cleveland, the San Francisco Bay Area, Dallas, Chicago, Nashville, Tennessee. But Fort Wayne, Indiana is where I've lived the longest. And I always tell people, I moved there in October of 1999, thinking it'd be a year or two. And thankfully, the Lord's plan has always been so much better than mine that he introduced me to my wife, and we've got two beautiful kids, and it's a great place to raise those kids.
Well, let me ask you this. As a GM, what are your roles as a GM? Now, if you're a major league general manager, you're dealing with a lot of salaries, but I know you're not dealing with a lot of salaries.
No, thankfully.
Because the Padres take care of all that. What is your role as a GM?
That's exactly right. And so maybe at the minor league in Fort Wayne, we have the Comets. Their general manager might actually do this, the salaries and the players. We do not do that. The major league affiliate doesn't in our case. So we do everything but what they see on the field. And people, when I say that, they laugh. Well, what is that? We'll set the schedule. We'll set the promotions. We sell the tickets. We come up with the food menus. 70 home games. Our guys play 140 games in 152 days. Hmm. We've now helped develop 152 major league ball players. Trey Turner's a guy that I would highlight, an outstanding young Christian man, finished second this year for Rookie of the Year for the Washington Nationals. Jake Peavy, LaTroy Hawkins, Torrey Hunter, a lot of big names from over the years, and a lot of great believers in that list. And so we do the whole fan experience, everything but what the win-loss record is. But the Padres love Fort Wayne and Parkview Field so much that they make sure we have a winner 7 of the 8 years we've made the playoffs, and it's been a great run.
Yeah, let me ask you this. How much contact do you really have with the players, or are you dealing more with the personnel that actually run the stadium and do that? Or do you get a chance to really interact a lot with the players?
I'm glad you asked. I probably do more interaction than most minor league general managers. As you and I film this, I'm a 44-year-old Christian husband and father. I've worked 25 years in minor league ball. I don't say any of that to talk about my resume other than this. I'm at a point now where I want to be a mentor and try and give back to these guys. The guys that wear the tin caps, green and red, I pull for every single one of them to get to the big leagues. But that's just not the reality. I'm not here to dash dreams. I've seen the 25th guy on the bench become a major league player to make $1 million a year. Mm-hmm. So it can happen. But I try and get in there and get to know them a little bit on a personal level. Our kids are 11 and 13 years old. And some of these players, we had a kid last year was 17, another kid 18. We just try and model what good behavior is to them. Do they need a voice to talk to? I don't have anything to do with the lineup. I don't control any of that. Sometimes they just need somebody to ask a question to, and they don't want to be embarrassed about it.
Yeah.
And so it's making these young men feel comfortable. I've made friends over the years with moms and dads of some of these guys, and sometimes the 22-year-old strapping professional ball player might not tell us thanks, and that's okay, but mom or dad will drop an email or a note in the off season or a handwritten note and say, thanks for taking care of my son, because it's still their baby, yeah, 1,000 miles from home, and they just want to know that somebody cares about them.
And sometimes it's a lot further than that, because of course the culture of baseball today is predominantly almost Latin ball players. A lot of Latin ball players coming in. These are guys that come in very young, 16, 17 years old. Yep. You're in the Class A Midwest League. They play maybe a year in the short season rookie league, and then you get them. And the culture gap. I mean, they've never heard of Fort Wayne, Indiana. They've never seen snow. They've never seen anything.
You just
like
described
April. How do you relate to these guys? How do you take care of these young kids?
You just described my mid-March to mid-April, and you did it to a T. So specifically for our friends and our players from Latin America, we have 3 host families set up where a lot of the American guys will go live at a great apartment complex, and it works. Some of these other guys don't have the means to get back and forth with a license or a vehicle or the money sometimes. We actually put them in homes. They live in great Christian homes while the guys are there. We also, with the Padres, offer them English as a second language class 2 or 3 days a week, depending on the homestand. You know, the Padres have invested in these guys, and if they're fortunate enough to become the next Albert Pujols or David Ortiz or Pedro Martinez, or the list goes on and on, they're going to get asked to do a lot of interviews. And the Padres just want the guys to be as comfortable as possible. So our radio and TV broadcasters over the last couple years have taken the Rosetta Stone tapes and learned Spanish. I'm not fluent by any means, but okay in Spanish, to just let those guys know you're welcome here, you're comfortable here. If you can get through my subpar Spanish, I'll help you with the English part, and we can become that team and family unit that really, I believe, helps them then win on the field.
Mike Nutter is our guest. He's the general manager of the Midwest League Class A Fort Wayne Tin Caps. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more and find out a little bit more about Mike personally. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Our guest is Mike Nutter. He is the general manager, not the manager, the general manager of what I think is one of the finest venues in minor league baseball, in the Parkview Field in downtown Fort Wayne. Mike, in 2004-2009, you were awarded the Midwest League Executive of the Year Award. What did that mean to you?
It means that our team put in a lot of hard work. And as the local boss in Fort Wayne, I would be first to tell you that I probably get too much of the credit sometimes. I work with 30 people that are willing to put their egos aside and buy into the team concept. But that means as a unit, we had a great season, and for them to recognize me personally, although I'd rather talk about my teammates and my coworkers, it still means something. It's very special, and although I'm 44, I'm still the baby in the family I come from, so it puts a smile on Mom and Dad's face down there in Mount Dora, Florida, and just makes people feel good about the operation we have.
You are the top man in the operation. I guess there's a president, maybe an executive.
Yeah.
But you're the top man, and Jesus Christ is the center of your life. How do you infuse Christianity? How do you infuse Christianity into your role as general manager of the Fort Wayne Tin Cats?
Great question. Hopefully in a lot of ways, but words and actions would be the start. We talk to people. You know, we entertained 413,000 Tin Caps fans in 2016. Another 150,000 people for non-baseball events. Why do I quote those numbers? We make mistakes. I make mistakes. We are going to handle those issues with sound ethics, biblical-based ethics on how to respond to a tough situation, a mistake, a negative situation. We expect to be held accountable. There's times you can take that shortcut and just do it this way, and maybe nobody would know. And those instances come up sometimes. We have a staff of 30 people, and somebody will say, well, can we handle it this way? And it's no. We need to own it. We need to show them that we care. Beyond that, we actually do some very, very specific faith-based things. You know, baseball chapel is a prominent thing all in major and minor league baseball. I help serve on their national board. I represent the Midwest League. So our players every Sunday get a chapel service in English and Spanish, so do the umpires. But about 10 years ago, we extended that to the front office. So of our 30 people, we might have to be at work on 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday morning because the game's at 1. I can't get to my home congregation, but we offer the service. Our groundskeeper, Keith Winter, is the best at what he does in the country. He's won a national award 6 straight years. He leads a Bible study on Wednesdays in the off season. We'll take a book. Somebody suggests a book. We've done a lot of stuff from James McDonald. We've done a lot of stuff from a lot of great pastors around the country, and we will offer that to people. Obviously, it has to be voluntary because of laws and things like that, but we have a great turnout, and we get to know each other on a spiritual level that when we're working those 70 home games and 140 games and 152 days, and I'm tired, and I'm at my weakest when I'm tired, and I don't always make the best decisions, but I know where your heart is, Tom, because we've been in those other situations so long that those are the important things for us.
Tell me how Jesus Christ came into your life and how you got to this point spiritually.
I'm glad you asked. I was born in an awesome Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod home in the great state of Ohio, and that's what we knew. And I grew up through 8th grade of going to a great Lutheran school over in Napoleon, Ohio. And then a bit of a culture shock. Dad took a transfer from Napoleon, Ohio to San Francisco, California.
Wow.
And what I knew was, even out in the Bay Area, we drove 30, 40, 50 miles, minutes I should say, which could have been 20 miles some days, to the church that became our church home. And I would say this, because I'm an open book and I'm a sinner and I've received God's grace. I drifted a bit in college. And I
went to Bowling Green State.
I did. I went to 2 years in Northern California. Then I graduated from Bowling Green State University over in Ohio. And I drifted. And I was quick to tell people how they should be doing things. And then I got into my career. My first job was with the Florida Marlins. I lived a very selfish, self-absorbed life. I could tell people how to do things. And all I cared about was the next sale or the next trip, maybe to the bar or nightclub. And then I moved to Nashville, Tennessee with a job, and I was living a very self-absorbed life. Had problems with pornography, different stuff that I don't mind talking about because I'm who I am, sinner and all. And I got a call from my sister one day She graduated from Vanderbilt Med School, and we just had a heart-to-heart, and I was struggling. And she was, I don't know, 500 miles away down in the Orlando area, and she knew. She could tell. And she said, you're going to go to this church this weekend in Franklin, Tennessee, and I'm going to know whether you went there or not. And I thought, whoa, she's the older one. She can boss me around. I'm ashamed to say, but honest enough, I walked into a church in Franklin, Tennessee, a southern suburb of Nashville, and within 30 seconds, I realized it wasn't for me. The preacher, the pastor was wearing Birkenstocks and a sweater and all this stuff. So, stick with me here. And I thought, this isn't for me. But she asked, I'll stick it out. And for the next 45 minutes, I'd never heard that. I just had never heard it. I was in a church a long time, and I was put in the right positions, and I'm not being critical of any church I ever walked in. I didn't hear it is the way to say it. Yeah. And so I was on a plane within a week of that experience, a kid that grew up in church. People probably thought I was always in the church, and I pulled out a legal pad and wrote down a bunch of notes about how I was going to change the way I lived and not make everything about me. And I still have this note, and it's 18 years old. Mm-hmm. I had it dated. I still have it. It's in a keepsake room in my house. And the very last thing I wrote down, and I had no agenda. I gave this no thought. I just pulled out the paper and started writing. And at the very end, I put, walk with Christ again. Yeah. And underlined it. And I've made mistakes along the way. I still battle those. I have had... times of battling, I should say, because it's more true. The pornography and stuff. My wife and I, you know, she knows some limitations I have in that stuff. But my point is this. He has put us in a place through baseball to show what God's grace means and what forgiveness means, and it's unbelievable.
I know in your bio you said that one of the things you could do if you could have dinner with any one person alive or dead would be Jesus Christ. What would you ask him?
I've thought about that a lot. I pride myself, again, I just told people what kind of, sinner I am. The things that stick out for me is how, when he knew what was coming in the garden, but he knew way before then what was coming, to continue to do that stuff for us, to wipe away my sins, but he's the only one that, he was perfect. He didn't need to do that stuff. And so I come from a regimented, disciplined family. And what does love like that look like? What does love like that feel like? I know the words like agape love and different things like that, but what does it really feel like? Because he loved me thousands of years ago. And I just, if I could pick up one thing, to just continue to treat people with more grace and respect and try not to be self-absorbed.
Mike, it's been tremendous. It's been good for you and I to get together. This is the first time we've actually gotten together. And I feel like we've known each other for 20 years. One final thing. I know you got a lot of verses in your head. Tell me a little bit about what your favorite verse is.
You know what? My son, we are raising our 11-year-old daughter and our 13-year-old son in the Word and in church, and they're both in Bible study and choir, and they've got a great group of friends. My son made me so proud a few years ago. He reached out to me. He just asked me, Dad, I'd like to put a verse from Jesus under my hat. Mm. And I might tear up when we're talking. And so he said, do you have a couple for me? And I said, let's find a couple alone. And then he said, don't you know a couple guys in the big leagues? I won't name drop them. I should, because they're outstanding believers. And the guys replied back with, this is under my hat, to Carson, to my son. And he picked one on his own. We were in church one day, and he heard Philippians 4:13, a very common verse. What I was saying recently was that we've just started looking at the book of Philippians before then, and even one verse before in Philippians 4:12. So I would put 12 and 13 together if I can fudge a little bit on your question, because 13, we know all about the strength, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But 12 changes it, because whether I have or I'm in want, I still can feel that way. So when he hit a home run last year at Cooperstown, it's easy to feel good. But what about when things aren't going your way?
Yeah.
Then you still need to have that strength and belief.
Mike, fantastic. Thanks for spending time with us. I look forward to being able to come to a Fort Wayne Tin Caps game very soon. And thank you for being the general manager, and thank you for your influence, and thank you for being a part of Face-to-Face.
Thanks very much, Tom. God bless.
All right. Mike Nutter of the Fort Wayne Tin Caps. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have more. So don't go away. You're listening to Face-to-Face. Welcome back to Face-to-Face. I certainly enjoyed time with Mike. What a personable guy. I went to a game a few years ago, right after we did done this interview. We did this interview at the Power Up Sports Ministry up in Grand Rapids. And went to a game, and when I walked in, I told an usher or somebody, hey, do you know Mike Nutter? Tell Mike I'm just showed up for the game today. And believe it or not, within a few minutes, he came down and sat with me for a couple of innings. I thought, this guy is the president. This guy's the GM. This guy's got a lot better things to do than to be hanging out with me at a game. And he was just happy for me to be there, and he was just happy for anybody. The fans love him, and as I said, minor league baseball is so good, and when you've got somebody that's got the Christian spirit of Mike Nutter, that infuses management of your team, that infuses the community, that infuses the players, and certainly hope that comes back. But really enjoyed our time with Mike Nutter, and hope that you enjoyed the interview. If you like this interview, and I hope you do, we've got more at our face2faceradio.com website. Hope you'll check that out. Check out the stories that we have. Put up a letter that I wrote kind of concerning the pandemic and the idea that sports is really still pretty much at a standstill. But we're still going on. We still have the face-to-face ministry, still in contact with players. And particularly this time, while a number of them are just sitting or working out at home, we're trying to give them encouragement. So hope that you'll check out our website, and hope that you'll pray for these players. There's so many Christian players who love the Lord, and face-to-face is one of the few venues out there that gives them an opportunity to express their views. So hope you'll continue to keep praying for them. And of course, again, it's face2faceradio.com. That's our website. Well, as we close today, I want to take you to a verse that's very appropriate for this particular time. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Here's what it says. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. Certainly a good verse. What that says is that during this particular time, one of the things that we have to realize is that He is in control. God is in control of our lives. God is the one that will get us through. I heard something the other day where somebody said that there's a phrase going around that says, He will not give you more than you can handle. That's really not in the Bible. It's a nice phrase, but it's not in the Bible. The phrase that's in the Bible is, He will not give you more than He can handle. And that's very important, because He's the one that will bring us through. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at face2faceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.